You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
Hey, we're back.
Yay! Yeah. I'm feeling super rusty. It's been like all summer.
It has.
We did a few testimonies over the summer, which was really great, kind of breaking the norm from our regular format.
And I skipped a couple of them, so it's even harder for me.
Yeah, so it's been like months.
Yeah.
And then when we came back this fall, I actually had planned for us to start back up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then I totally forgot because, you know, it's just not in our regular rhythms anymore.
Nope.
So,
nope.
But I think this still works out because we just wrapped up our Final Destination series.
Yep.
What Happens When You Die, which I feel was probably one of your best series yet.
Well, I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
It was short.
Yeah. I don't hate that.
It's a 4-weeker.
That was it's good for those of us with like ADD, you know. Yeah.
Next one will be a little bit longer. Yeah. I thought about that as I was mapping it out. So
yeah, I saw that. You just sent out the schedule for that, which made my heart happy.
Yeah.
But it's going all the way into January.
It'll go right. Yeah. So. Well, it's funny because when we've done these shorter books of the Bibles before, it always seemed when they would get mapped out, we would try to take like a whole chapter at a time. And I'm like, man, that, because I even back, I would feel like, man, it's trying to cram a lot into this. So, I took the, like, really broke it down into sections. So,
I saw, like, the first. So, our next sermon series will be through the book of James, which isn't a long book.
No, it's only 5 chapters.
But I see, like, the first week is 8 verses, right?
Yeah.
So, I love that. Yeah. I love that. So, I'm really excited for this.
And just for everybody, that might make the sermon shorter.
Oh.
Because I'm not cramming in.
Hey,
I'm not trying to cram in 20 some verses. It's like 8 verses. We can get that done.
There's always a silver lining. You guys.
That's what I'm trying. People listening, I'm trying. I'm trying.
You've got a lot to say.
I do.
I actually this last series I haven't noticed.
Oh, like, well, that's good.
I mean, I'm honestly like there's sometimes I'm like, wow, that was almost an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and not to digress into it, but it's one of those things I'm legitimately saying to people, I do not get up there ever saying this is going to be this long.
Right.
It's one of those things where until you do it, you don't realize. Every Sunday I'll look up and be like, where'd the time go?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it's all good. It's all good.
I'm going to try.
So today we just kind of want to put like a bookend, I guess, on our Final Destination series and maybe kind of work through some of the things we didn't get to spend a lot of time on. I feel like there were some things that you even said during your sermon, like, I'm not going to stay here long on this, but I'll just kind of mention it or fly through it. So, I think the biggest takeaway for, maybe not for me necessarily, but I think one of the biggest things that really stood out was your statement. I don't know if you just said it in this last sermon or if it kind of was a theme throughout, but talking about how like good people don't go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is really good coming off of, the last, not the, I don't know if it was the last series, but the Narrow Road series with, you know, what does the narrow road look like as far as our salvation goes? And so, I want to talk about a little bit of the myths that people have maybe when we die. I'm thinking like things like we become angels or ghosts or I see a cardinal at my window and that is my grandma watching over me. Or even just like people that have died are like somehow taking care of us now or watching out for us.
They become our guardians.
Right. Yeah. Just things like that. So let's, cause I kind of was hoping we'd get some questions from the congregation too, but apparently you just answered everyone's questions in the series.
And I think honestly, I think a lot of times people don't ask those questions because a lot of the stuff we hold on to those myths, well, let's say it how it is. People hold on to those because they're seeking comfort.
Sure.
And I get it. I mean, sometimes when you do get kind of blunt about this stuff, mm-hmm. it can kind of feel like we're trying to pop a person's comfort bubble.
Right.
I mean, it's the, yeah. but I'm trying to find comfort in this. And
yeah. and I get that too.
I get it. Yes. I completely get it. That's mm-hmm. why it kind of goes back to the beginning of the series. And that same truth has to be with processing what we're going to talk about now is mm-hmm. we don't have the right to say what eternity looks like. Only Jesus does. Mm-hmm. And unless we can find what we believe about eternity, we can go back and see Jesus laying out foundational truth, then we can't say that, you know, and, mm-hmm. and that's hard because mm-hmm. again, yeah, nowhere in scripture does it talk about us becoming angels. In fact, it's a complete opposite. You know, when God lays out the order of creation, we are not, that's not our intended. I think some ways people maybe fall into that is there is a scriptural reference where Jesus says we will become like the angels, mm-hmm. but he's talking in the context of marriage. He's talking about
sure.
not that we become angels, but he says, no, your relationships are going to look different.
Right.
In eternity, you will
Which
not have the same.
Which is still kind of hard to wrap our heads around.
Completely hard to wrap. And that's yeah. another great point, because if we could wrap our heads around eternity, it's mm-hmm. not going to make it as glorious. Like, we're so limited.
Right. But I think, to us, it feels like a loss, maybe, yeah. that those relationships will look differently, yeah. but it won't be.
No.
Like, there's nothing in that that's ever going to feel like a loss.
No, yeah. no. In fact, it's the complete opposite. It's going to be the fulfillment. The reason we don't need those relationships in the same way is because there's such a fulfillment in now being mm-hmm. in Christ, like mm-hmm. fully in Christ. Yeah. And then people start asking the questions, does that mean I won't know my wife? Well, that mean I don't know? That's right. like that's not biblical either. I mean, scripture is pretty clear that there's memories. That's who we mm-hmm. are. The part of us that
yep.
remembers
makes us
and
us. Yeah.
Makes us us continues.
Yeah.
It's just going to be different because... And that's hard to wrap your head around when all you know is this.
Yeah. Yeah.
To try to understand something that's not this, we try to see it through the lens of what we know. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Scripturally, you know, when you think about angels, I don't want to become an angel. Mm-hmm. Nothing against angels. I think they're awesome and glorious beings. So
yeah.
angels that are listening to me right now, nothing against you guys. But Jesus didn't die for angels.
Right.
There's no redemption. For angels. The angels were not created in the image of God,
mm-hmm.
right? So I get why we want to think like that's what we become, but we were never intended to be. If that was the case, then when Jesus died on the cross, there could be forgiveness for Satan. There could be forgiveness for yeah. fallen angels that rebelled against him. They weren't created in God's image.
Mm-hmm.
So to say we're going to become angels is almost reverting us to something we were never meant to be. And let's yeah. not do that.
Yeah.
Because... that's not what we were intended for.
Right.
So I don't want to be an angel. Again, it's the, my loved ones are watching over me. Mm-hmm. Nothing scriptural. I mean, again, I get the idea. We want that connection. We want that closeness.
Yeah,
we're trying to stay connected
yeah.
because all we understand is the physical. That's how I relate to you now. I want to feel like I still relate to you. And so there's nothing wrong with this, you know, at its core, what we're trying to say, but that's not, God did not need our loved ones to watch out for us. Mm-hmm. God watches out for us.
Yep.
So that's something just to think about that, you know, when I think there's that feeling that you hear people say when their loved one passes away and they say, you know, well, God just needed another angel in heaven, because then we want to say, well, now they're watching over mm-hmm. me. And God had that before he didn't need your loved one.
Nope.
Because God is, he has no need, and he's the one that guards us and protects us. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to take away from somebody's grief and processing that, but I think the truth is even more glorious than what we try to make it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I'm looking for it in this book I have that I'll reference at the end, but it was... they were asking about that same thing, like loved ones watching out for us and stuff. And basically the author was saying, is that what you want for them?
Yeah.
You know, when they're in heaven, when they're like, no, you want them to be experiencing Jesus yeah. and being all that they are meant to be there, you know, with God, and not spending their time worrying about us, you know?
Yeah,
I was
100%.
Like, that's fair. 100%. I never really thought about it that way.
100%. And
yeah.
One is kind of the same with, you know, I didn't talk a lot about it. I mentioned it, I think, a couple times, but it's the same thing with, I really want to stress this one. Like the other stuff, like that, you know, my loved one mm-hmm. is an angel and they're watching over me. It's not right biblically, but the
right.
one that really I struggle with is mm-hmm. Christians when we try to hold on to the belief that there's ghosts.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
talk
a huge
about,
one
let's
to
talk
me.
About ghosts. David likes scary stuff.
I do. Which I've tried. Yes, I do. And I'm trying really hard to change that. But there is no... You cannot take the idea of ghost, like past human beings that are here spiritually and you know, manifesting. You can't take that idea and confirm it at all with the gospel message. Like, the two cannot mold together. Right. There is not, you know, I always think about, you know, if anybody remembers the old Patrick Swayze movie Ghost, you know.
Yes.
So you remember, like, you know,
the, that in the movie
the guy passes away and the light comes down, but he has a choice. He can choose whether, well, I'm not going to go right now.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it don't work that way.
Yeah.
There's no... I'm in control. As soon as we step into eternity, we're in God's realm.
And we're not going to be making pottery.
Yeah, we're not.
With our spouse.
We're not going to be lifted a quarter up the door. And again, I get it. Because here's why it gets so troubling. Because when you say that to somebody that really believes in ghosts, the first thing they'll say, but I've experienced. And I am not denying or doubting anybody's experience. I'm not denying that people have experienced some very... whether they have gone to somebody and they feel like their loved one has spoken to them, they feel like they've seen their loved one, whatever that is. I am not saying at all that people have not had experiences. And this is where it gets a little, where people struggle. If Satan's number one goal is to keep us from seeking God, and the Bible says that he can appear as an angel of light, meaning he can do things that try to confuse us and to get us focused on like this good thing, but it's not really a good thing.
Yeah.
He can manifest and have us experience things that are actually demonic that make us feel though like that was my loved one.
Right.
Because now it's making us question, oh, they're here. They're with me. It's like, no,
that's
the Bible
crazy.
Says either when you die, you are either present with the Lord or you are
or
not.
You're not.
There's not this, I stayed behind. So we got to remember he's crafty. He's our enemy and he wants to pull us away from truth. And that's why I struggle so much with ghosts when people, you know, like, no, I believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
It's like, but it's not scriptural. So, but again, anybody that's listening, I mean, I get it. Like somebody might be listening and I was like, well, you don't know what I've, I'm not denying the experience. I've had moments of my own where it's just like, you know, I get the words, where it's haunted or it's...
Sure.
We have to remember there's a spiritual realm and that spiritual realm has a side to it that wants to keep me from God and his truth. So I'm not denying the experiences.
Sure. Yeah.
So.
That's kind of freaky.
It is freaky. That, well, that's what I'm saying. It's, you know, it can be overwhelming. You know.
Okay. So let's switch gears a little bit, unless you had another one of those. Those were the kind of the main ones that I was thinking.
No, I mean,
okay,
I think those are the biggies that most people hold on to.
I want to switch gears to like, okay, someone dies now versus the new heavens and the new earth.
Okay.
And how we'll be then. I know I'm getting into a whole can of worms, but I feel like we didn't really get to get into that at all.
We did not.
And there's a difference.
Yes.
So break it down for us, Pastor.
How much time do we have?
I mean, it's a podcast and we haven't done it for a while, so, you know.
All right.
I mean, you can hit the main points.
Thanks for the pressure. We did not get into it purposefully.
Right.
Because it could muddy the waters a lot.
Absolutely.
And this series would have then went from 4 weeks to like 8 weeks.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Now, I'm going to give you... Okay, so there might be... You might be able to find some that disagree with the way I'm going to present this, which that's fine. Okay. So when we look at scripture and we look at Old Testament, New Testament, there's two words that are used to describe the afterlife. There's actually three, but I want to start with these two. So you have Sheol, which is used in the Old Testament, and you have Hades, which is used in the New Testament. Those words represent the same reality of the afterlife. It is basically saying it's the place of the dead, right? There's no... That's a universal statement, not the righteous and the unrighteous. It's like, this is the place of the dead, okay? One's a Hebrew word, Sheol. Hades is a Greek word, so that's the difference.
Yep. Okay.
Then when I was talking, we did the whole the sermon on hell, I was talking about the word that Jesus used to all... Jesus then brings in another word. That is when he was referring to that valley, and he's presenting this, you know, idea of the horrors of what this looks like. Okay, so why this is important. When you look at biblical history, before Jesus, his death and his resurrection, everyone that died went to Hades. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. We see Jesus talking about it. This is why I wrestled with how much I want, if I was going to bring this out, because when Jesus tells the story of Lazarus and the rich man, mm-hmm. and I referred to it when we talked about hell, Jesus is actually speaking of what's happening in Hades, because mm-hmm. at that moment, that's where the dead are, mm-hmm. this place of the dead. Now in Hades,
the unsaved dead.
No, all of them.
Everybody.
Yeah, because at that, you got to think, this is before Jesus' death and resurrection. Right. So where did
all the Old Testament people are in Hades?
Yes.
Okay.
See, this is where it gets.
Okay. Yeah.
Track with me.
Yeah,
I'm tracking. Again, and you might run into other people that disagree with this, but I have never found any explanation that does not make sense with this.
Sure. Okay.
So that's why you have this moment where the rich man is in torment. So there's basically two sides to Hades. There's torment, mm-hmm. and then there's the side that Jesus calls Abraham's bosom, right?
Sorry.
I know. That's the way Jesus refers to it.
I know.
Okay. So, but notice the difference there. Abraham's bosom is a reference to those that lived by faith.
Right.
Credited to them as righteousness, yes. like Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham, when he died, did not... See, this is what we have to remember. All the Old Testament saints were not welcomed into the presence of God because that would mm-hmm. go against the gospel. Hmm. I mean, yeah. all these people that died, even righteous in following God in the Old Testament, they did not have the ability to enter into the presence of God because Jesus had not yet paid for those sins. Okay. There's no atonement yet.
Sure.
But they weren't cast into torment.
Okay.
So they were... That's why I think... The Bible, Jesus calls it Abraham's bosom, because remember, okay. Abraham is called the father of faith,
right?
Credited to him as righteousness. He obeyed, mm-hmm. which then put him right with God. So in Hades, we have both sides. You have those that lived a righteous, obedient life, mm-hmm. like following God. You had those that rejected. They went to torment. So in Hades, this is why you have this. I don't think Jesus was being... He wasn't doing an illustration when he told this story. He's using real names. Mm-hmm. He's using real circumstances. This is not a parable.
Okay.
I believe that story was Jesus is saying there was a real man named Lazarus and there was a real rich man. And this is what happened. And he's giving us a picture that the rich man in torment was able to see mm-hmm. those that were not in torment.
Right.
And he's like, that's when there's this Father Abraham, you know, mm-hmm. do this for me. So... This is where then...
Like is this the one where he's like, go tell my loved ones or
yes.
whatever?
Okay. Yeah, where he's saying, yeah, go... Yeah. Okay. Where it basically says, you know, send Lazarus to dip his finger right. in, you know, because he can see he's in a paradise,
right?
I'm in torment.
Okay. Man, that would suck.
It would. And that's where we get a lot of images. Some people wrestle with that. They think for all eternity we're going to be sitting there like, oh, we're in heaven having a good time.
Yeah,
and,
like,
oh, look, there's uh-huh. the people in torment.
Yeah.
That's Hades.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
That's Sheol, the place of the dead, all okay. dead. Okay. So this is where it gets interesting when you look at the entirety of Scripture. So when Jesus dies, because mm-hmm. this is terminology becomes important, because we use words and we just throw them out there like they all mean the same things,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So take the Apostles' Creed. Mm-hmm. Part of the Apostles' Creed says that after Jesus died, he descended to hell.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus didn't descend to hell.
Right.
In the final hell.
Okay.
Jesus descended into Hades.
Into Abraham's bosom.
Into Abraham's bosom.
Okay.
I believe that, and when I say I believe, this is theologically, you can, you know, I've tracked mm-hmm. this and just that it says Jesus descended mm-hmm. and he proclaimed freedom to the prisoners, mm-hmm. those in mm-hmm. Hades. And then in Ephesians, it talks about there's this reference that says, and now some people debate this, but this is what it says. It says in Ephesians that he led captives out, right? So, I mean, I don't want anybody to think I'm making it up. So this is Ephesians chapter 4.
Okay.
And it says, so chapter 4, he says, when he ascended on high, so this is talking about, you know, Jesus ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower earthly region? So now, this is the one, and then he who descended to the is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens. So this is where there's the debate, because some would say, well, that just means he descended to earth, and we're all the captives. I, through my study and what I've seen, other, it's like, no, Jesus descended. He proclaimed the gospel to those in Abraham's bosom. And then he said, now the doorway is open for you to come into the presence of the Father.
Okay. Right? And so now those people that were in Abraham's bosom
are in the presence of the Father.
Have graduated to, okay.
But Hades is still in existence.
Right.
Torment is still there.
Right.
So today, based on my understanding of Scripture and this, of this, is if a Christian dies today, right? So anybody that's listening to this, if you put your faith in Jesus, this is why Paul could declare to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, because now the doorway is open.
Right.
When we die, we go straight to the presence of the Father.
Right.
Okay? Because the atonement, our sins are dealt with, Jesus led the way. If someone dies today separate from Christ, they still ascend to the place of the dead, but they go still to Hades of torment.
Now, will that change?
Yes. See, this is why
there's like so many levels and facets.
There is. Because some people might be like, well, why is that the case? Yeah. Or what's the see, this is kind of the crux verse with this to show that there's a difference. So when you get to Revelation and we get to the great white throne judgment, and we get where this is, we talked about this, you know, this is the two judgments. Notice what it says. It talks about the dead were judged according to what they had done and according to the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done.
Okay.
Now, this is where the crux is. This is a different place. This is the eternal final destination. Verse 14, this is chapter 20 of verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire.
So that's the
lake is the ultimate. Second death. Okay. That's the ultimate. So this is going to sound really weird, but it's the way my brain wraps around this. I view Hades, those in torment in Hades, like if I were to get arrested right now, they would put me in jail.
Right.
And I would sit in jail until I have to go before the judge. And then when I go before the judge, I'm going to be sentenced.
Right. And then you go to prison.
Then I go to prison.
Oh, okay.
Like the sentence is laid out.
Okay.
Great white throne judgment.
Kind of a holding place, but not.
Kind of. Still, that's the way my brain wraps around. Yes. Oh, yeah. It's not a good place. Okay. It is horrible.
So
that's
it's
why.
It's not in any way like purgatory.
No.
Okay.
This is not
a case. We can talk about that later.
Because that's where Jesus then says in that, talking about Lazarus and the rich man, where he says, there's no way to get past this chasm.
Right.
You are where you are, and that's not changing.
Okay.
Because Hades is going to get cast into this lake of fire. Like everybody in there still will be cast, and that's the final. So when I think of the word hell, that's hell.
Hades.
Like
the lake of fire.
The lake of fire. That's the eternal judgment.
But no one's there yet.
No, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Like this is the final judgment.
Okay.
Right? This is, you know, because it talks about like all the dead get brought before the throne.
I mean, either way, you don't want to be in.
No, that's what I don't want to make Hades out to be like it's a less than.
Yeah,
like Jesus.
The middle place.
Yeah, it's not the, you know, like, cool, I'm in jail. I'm watching cable TV and I'm working out in the yard. It's like, no, that's why Jesus said, Lazarus, I'm in agony. They're still separate from the presence of God in Hades.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is so terrifying to me because even here on earth, we have the presence of God.
Yeah, we can't fathom it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine not having. Oh, it's like so terrifying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then let's talk about something happier. So
well, hopefully, but I just does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, not like
that does make sense. That makes perfect sense.
That's scripturally, that's what we see. That there's this there's a temporary, this is the final. Like this is the the sentence. Like
So people that are in Christ. When we die now, we are spirit, and we don't get a body until the new earth, until Jesus comes back.
I'm going to say scripturally, that's what it seems,
right?
Yes. Like, because there's this talk about a resurrection, like this ultimate resurrection.
Right.
This is where Paul talks a lot about that in 1 Corinthians 15, where, you know, he's laying the groundwork of, because there are some that don't believe in a resurrection in the church at that mm-hmm. time. And that's why he's like, listen, we look at Jesus' resurrection and that's proof that there's going to be a resurrection sure. for us. And he does talk about this ultimate resurrection. So
from a scripture standpoint, is there anything that says like, okay, what does it look like now in heaven before Jesus comes back versus what we'll be doing? Like, how is that going to look different mm-hmm. from when Jesus comes back and we're...
So that's what's see a great I know,
like,
question
on the new earth we're gonna like yeah. have jobs or be yeah. able to do all these like we talked about like yep. teleporting and all these yeah. riding dinosaurs
exactly
I mean
eating
you guys.
Vegetables that taste like Little Debbie's
right so like I know that to me sounds like more new earth
yes
kinds
that's
of
that's yes
so yep. Yep. What do we know from scripture what it'll look like before that?
See, that's what
is that just one of those secret things?
I think in my opinion, it does fall. I don't want to sit here and say, yeah, totally, I'll tell you what it looks sure. like. I think that's a lot of that. It's the secret things.
Yeah.
I know some Christians that, and I'm not going to say they're wrong, but I'm not a 100% there with mm-hmm. this one. I know some Christians that believe that when we die, even in Christ, that we kind of enter into a, I don't know what you want to call it, hibernation. Stay like asleep.
Soul sleep.
Yeah. Like yeah, I've heard to that. Us that we don't recognize time with that. So, you know, I don't see anything scripturally in there. The only thing that scripture shows us is that the picture of Revelation, the beginning, is where we hear about the throne and we hear mm-hmm. about the, like, we're getting this vision of what the throne of God looks like. So I guess this is one of the most important points, I would think, when we think about heaven. Mm-hmm. And this didn't come out in any of the sermons because I had it in my notes, honestly, but I didn't know how to fit it in without
it
going.
It would have pushed that sermon over an hour.
It would have. It would have. We would have been like part two.
yeah.
Because here's the most important thing we have to understand about heaven. I think there's so many awesome things that we can look forward to mm-hmm. with it. Like, again, riding dinosaurs or whatever it looks like, enjoying the new yeah. earth. What does it look like? I mean, imagine what it's going to be like to work, and we're going to love it.
Right?
Like, take your worst, like, you hate going to your job, but in heaven, like, this is going to be, yeah. it's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Because it'll be something, I've read that it's, God knows exactly what brings us joy oh, yeah. and fulfills us and how we're wired, and so that's what we're going to get to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the core of what heaven is, see, this is the thing. When we say heaven, mm-hmm. and even when we say hell, our brain tries to wrap around a place, right? Right? The reason heaven is called heaven is because it's the presence of God. Mm-hmm. The reason hell is called hell is because there's no presence of God. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, when it comes right down to it, we can speculate, we can debate, we can talk about, we can dream of what heaven looks like, but at its core, the whole purpose of heaven is the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff is like all secondary, yeah. right? So when we sit here and try to wrestle, like, what's heaven going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. But the primary yeah. is it's Jesus is the focal point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, I love when I hear, because I was this way when I was younger and there's still a part of me. I love when you hear people talk about the streets of gold and you can see their eyes are like lighting up a little bit because they're greedy people.
Yeah,
like I can't wait to, you know, like I can't wait to say streets of gold. I'm like, yeah, you're not going to be pulling out bricks like and taking it home, but they get excited about it because yeah. they would love to have gold now.
Yeah.
I get it, but it's just like that stuff ain't going to matter mm-mm. one bit, you know? And so that's what I encourage. Dream about heaven, mm-hmm. get excited about mm-hmm. it, ponder what it's going to be like, but let that be secondary. To what's most important is where I go back to Revelation. Mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 4 is where John is said, come up here and I'm going to show you. And the first thing he sees is God on his throne, right? Like that's the mm-hmm. primary. And because again, heaven's not heaven unless that's the reality.
Yeah.
Because that's what makes heaven heaven. Not what we get. It's yeah. who's there.
Yep.
And that's why it's heaven. Yeah. So
is there some reflective... Is there something reflective about that for us? Because it kind of makes me think like, okay, are you excited about, you know, trying to be in his presence now mm-hmm. on earth? Because if you're not, if that's not part of your rhythm,
mm-hmm.
Like how on earth are you going to be excited? You know what I mean? Then of course, heaven's not going to sound exciting to
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's, to me, that's like very convicting.
Yeah. Well, and it should, because yeah. I think that's it should be, because I think mm-hmm. that's what do you want to call it? Is that a test to us? Mm-hmm. I just think there's a lot of people, you know, I want to say this where it's not condemning,
right,
but at the same time, it's truthful.
And it's urgent. If,
it's an urgency. Message. If you have no desire now to be in the presence of God, mm-hmm, and I'm not trying to equate church with, you know, worship, right, with that, but if like you have no desire to experience the presence of God in worship now, mm-hmm, like not even, I'm saying there's not even a little bit, mm-hmm, it would be hard for me to think that you are even, yeah, going to go to heaven.
Yep.
Because it kind of shows, like, why would you want to?
Right.
You want to go because you just want what you think you're going to get.
Yeah. Well, because we don't want hell.
Exactly. Too. Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
and now that doesn't mean, again, I get it. That's, mm-hmm, not mean like, oh, church service is heaven,
no,
or nothing.
I mean, but it can be something that no one sees.
Yes.
And just, yeah.
If you have no desire for the truth of the word, mm-hmm, or, mm-hmm, and take everything else out, because some people might hear that and say, well, I just don't understand it. That's a different subject. Yeah. I'm talking like you don't have a desire for it. Mm-hmm. You don't have a desire to wrestle, yeah, through sin. Again, I'm not talking perfection. It goes back to like, if, right, you just don't care,
yeah,
then I'm going to question whether you even have the Spirit of God, because
absolutely,
Paul says you're given the Spirit as a seal, mm-hmm, and a guarantee of what is to come.
Yeah.
And so if there's nothing of that now,
yeah,
I'd really question whether you have the Spirit now, mm-hmm, drawing you to that. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Anyway, I mean, and this might sound weird, but it's no different than, I get, we want to enjoy the world today. Mm-hmm. But listen, even when I'm on my best vacation, so again, like if I'm down on the beach with Amy and I enjoy when we do that.
Sure.
I love it, but there's still a part of me that it wants me to go home. Mm-hmm. So it's not about not enjoying the world that God has given to us now. It's, mm-hmm, not about that, but, yeah, there's still that part of me is like, I can't wait to get home. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have that, I'd start asking, yeah, some very serious questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, why do I not desire home? Mm-hmm. So,
That's good. Was there anything else like really wanted to get into, but just for time's sake weren't able to, or anything you feel you want to clarify?
I just want to clarify this. I try to say every week, the theme of this has been, what we believe about eternity should determine how we live today. Yeah. And so I go back to the very first comment you made at the podcast, mm-hmm, is good people do not go to heaven. And I just want to encourage us as Christians that are listening to this, is that should cause urgency with us. Mm-hmm. We have to start really wrestling with some of the false ideas that even if we will say different, like even if, like someone might hear this and you're going to be like me at times where I would say, yeah, no, I know that you need Jesus. Mm-hmm. But if it's not changing us to have urgency to try to tell people,
yeah,
then our lip service is not enough.
Absolutely.
And so this is what I hope people came out of this series excited about heaven. Mm-hmm. I really do pray that some people, man, if they heard about hell and judgment, that, mm-hmm, made them pause and say, uh-oh. And they're wrestling with that. I don't want anybody to be in a dark place, but if you're wrestling with that, you need to come talk. Let's talk. Come to an elder. Come to somebody else in the, mm-hmm, church. Keep coming and seeking God. Pray. Mm-hmm. But we really have to accept what we believe about eternity should shape today. And if we know that we have to give an account to Jesus someday, then let's live, yeah, that way, right?
That makes my heart pound, well, thinking about it.
Yeah. But see, I appreciate you saying that also, because I had other people kind of say that too. Like, mm-hmm, they don't like the idea of, oh, I'm going to, yeah, get, because now it feels like that weight of judgment again.
Yeah.
But this is what I think is amazing. When we take that serious, mm-hmm, I think there's going to be moments where Jesus is going to show us where we did well, where we never even realized it. Mm-hmm. See, we think about all the stuff we do, mm-hmm, wrong.
Yeah.
Which should challenge us. It should, yeah, be like, okay,
that's,
I need to
totally
get my
me.
I need, yeah, to get my act together. Yeah. Okay, Jesus, thank you. You're showing me. Mm-hmm. But I think there's going to be a lot of moments when that moment comes where Jesus is going to, yeah, say, "Man, I noticed this." And you're going to sit, yeah, there like, "I had no clue." Mm-hmm. And I think that's exciting.
Yeah. Well, I think there's so many times where we feel like those faithful things should be these big grand,
oh, yeah,
gestures, or I don't know what they would even look like, but a lot of times it's just that faithfulness that like no one sees. Like, I don't know where I heard it, but a while back I had heard someone saying, like, talking about being faithful, but forgettable. Mm-hmm. Like, are, mm-hmm, we willing to do that and be that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cause that's hard in this culture when culture is screaming the opposite.
Be noticed.
Yeah.
Be applauded.
Yeah.
Be all of those things. I would just encourage us with that, Christian, when it comes to standing before Jesus again, mm-hmm, then if we know that to be true, don't, don't be foolish like I have been in my life, not just in my relationship with Jesus. Basically equate it to like this. If you know the test is coming, mm-hmm. stop waiting before the night before to yeah. get ready for it. That's what, I think that's the message of that. If we know we're going
to
stand,
procrastinators out there. No, I'm kidding.
But that's a legitimate. That's a legitimate. It's like, well, I don't know why I got a D+. Yeah. Well, maybe because you yeah. knew it was coming, but you didn't prepare for mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. I think that's an encouragement to us. Jesus is. He's. We can't complain that Jesus hasn't warned us. Mm-hmm. Like, you will stand before me, and right. you will give an account.
Right.
And it's going to be great in some ways, but it's going to be a struggle in others. But start getting ready. Mm-hmm. I mean. Yeah, anyways.
Yeah. So I'm going to put a list of resources on this, like the show notes or whatever. So a couple things. Heaven by mm-hmm. Randy Alcorn. I know you.
I have not
you
read
haven't
it.
Read that.
But I've heard good things.
I listened to it via audiobook because it's a big book and mm-hmm. I knew that would help me get through it. And it is fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, like, a lot of it's scripture-based, but some of it is definitely speculation because yeah. we just don't know
don't
all
know.
The things. But it, I feel like it kind of starts to open up our minds to possibilities that mm-hmm. maybe we felt a little more limited on before. And then I would also recommend Heaven for Kids, which is also by Randy Alcorn, but he kind of takes just less content and then like brings it down a couple notches. Mm-hmm. I read through that with Tyler and it was so fun because I mean it just spurred a lot of conversation mm-hmm. and then I think it helped get him excited too yeah. like hey, because he probably was in that camp of like we're not going to do anything, it's going to yeah. be boring.
It's going to be boring
and it's like we don't always teach on that mm-hmm. and things, and so he just didn't know. And so I actually recommend that for adults because that was helpful to me too.
Yeah.
Because I can always use help bringing things down
yeah,
to
no, that's
a
awesome.
Lower level. And then, oh, the other one that I referenced earlier is What Grieving People Wish You Knew, and about what really helps and why and what really hurts. Wow, I cannot read. And that is by Nancy Guthrie. And this is a really good one because it she interviews a lot of people who have gone through significant grief and. Kind of adds some of their words in here as far as like what was helpful, what wasn't helpful. And then it talks about some of the myths we talked about today about like that we don't become angels and things yeah. like that. But this is a very, very good resource
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Do you have any that, or did you
not necessarily books? Here's just what I would encourage for anybody that wants to. So mm-hmm. here, YouTube's great with a lot of different sermons and preaching mm-hmm. out there. There's other videos you can watch. Mm-hmm. Here would be mine. Just number one. It should be for anything, but especially when we're talking about eternity and mm-hmm. hell and heaven, is anytime you listen to somebody teach or preach on any of that, mm-hmm. if they are not using scripture,
right.
run.
Yep.
So if they're giving you a lot of, it will be this and it will be that, right. and they're not backing it up with scripture. Mm-hmm. Now, I have nothing against with somebody that's like, let's speculate.
Right.
Okay, let's do that. Right.
Sure.
But that's a number one. Pay sure. attention, especially yeah. on this topic, because yeah. you, that's why I said what I said on about. It's like when you get the person, it's like, I died and this is what I experienced. It's like, again, I'm not denying an experience, yeah. but you're not the authority.
Yeah.
That can't be the authority. Mm-hmm. So that would be my number one. And the other thing is this, is if anybody you're listening to somebody preach, especially about hell, mm-hmm. If they're trying to present hell in any way that makes you feel good, mm-hmm. you need to run from that person too.
Yeah.
Like you need find somebody that's teaching on hell that's like, there's nothing to feel good about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to suck. And you don't want to hear what I'm about to say,
yeah.
but you need to hear it. If so, that would just be my encouragement because you can find so much out there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. If somebody's trying to present it where mm-hmm. if somebody's preaching on hell and it doesn't make you feel bad, then they're not preaching really on hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I only say that because I've listened to a lot of preachers about it. And
it's like the prosperity gospel, but for hell.
Kind of. I mean, you know,
yeah.
or they sidestep stuff.
Sure.
And like, you know, or they'll try to sidestep the reality of eternal hell and say, we're in hell now. It's like, yeah, no, mm-hmm. life sucks, but it's not mm-hmm. even close.
And yeah.
I only say that because I've listened to a lot of preachers preach about it. And it's just,
yeah,
it don't feel good.
Yeah. I don't know who originally said it, but. I've heard J.D. Greer say it, but he's also quoting somebody, so I don't know where the origin is, but it's like here on earth, like this is the closest that like us as believers
yeah.
will get to hell,
yep.
which is like, phew.
Yep.
But then for unbelievers, this is the closest they'll get to heaven, and
yep.
that's like really scary.
That's yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, other things when I hit it on the sermon, but just thinking about, you know, just that those myths, like Satan is not the ruler of hell. So stay away from those, you know, stay away from this idea of like, oh, he's on a throne down there. Mm-hmm. And no, he's going to be in torment just as much as those people will be. And so little things like that, because we have such a world that you can watch movies where people are getting their ideas of hell. Mm-hmm. And I mean, now I've never watched it, but I mean, you have the TV show. What is it? Lucifer. Like, so we try to present these, you know, anyways.
Yeah.
So that's just what I would say is scripture number one. If people aren't backing it with scripture, honestly, just don't believe it unless they can back it up with scripture says this.
Yep. Agreed.
So.
All right. Well, we are back. We will plan to be back in another 2 weeks and we'll be talking. I guess that'll be right after your first.
Right after first in James.
Sermon. So we'll be talking James, which I'm excited about.
Me too.
So,
I love James.
All right. Thanks for listening.